Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Tony Liggett, the Carroll County Sheriff, has been accused by Richard Allen's defense team of several serious oversights and potential misconducts related to the Delphi murder investigation. Specifically, what we're looking at, and this all kind of goes to the Odinist theory that they are presenting. They're saying that Sheriff Tony Liggett swore under oath that a Purdue University professor did not believe the sticks on the bodies of Abby Williams and Libby German were Odinist symbols. This claim was later contested by the defense, suggesting that the professor's opinion was either misrepresented or not accurately conveyed. And then they were like, Tony's team was like, well, we don't know who the professor is. We got to look that up. We got to find it, which was a lie. They knew exactly who it was. When that's coming out and it's being shown exactly who it was. They had the access to the information, but it took them quite some time to prove that this person did exist because this person did not say what Tony had represented when he was describing this case to the rest of the team. Basically, suppression of evidence is what the accusations are. Is this something that goes on commonly in investigations, whether on local levels or larger levels, where an individual, they want to solve this, maybe they go in with the best of intent, but they get blinders on. They start going down one road. Maybe they go so far and realize, maybe this isn't quite the road I thought it was, but I already went this far, so I better keep going. Facts be damned.
Yeah, that's definitely what people do. I'm not saying this would happen here, but you know, once we say something, we get verbally obligated to continue down that path. Unless you are a good seasoned investigator, you have a good balance of confidence with humility, you can actually redirect your path when you need to. This one's made for Netflix, isn't it?
100%.
Geez. And I won't doubt if it would be. These defense attorneys, I love. I mean, they are literally putting themselves out there on a limb, I think, with this theory until you go a little bit deeper on it. Then I'm like, this is interesting. Because the thing that's really struck me on this so far is going through what the prosecution's is. That's why I think the defense is doing a great job of throwing out the search, because that then throws out the entire case. But if that, you know, because the only thing they found that ties him to the murder scene is the non-expended bullet from a weapon that says it came from, you know, that was one of his weapons. That is so thin. And then they have the jail room, you know, the jail confession to his wife, which his defense is claiming was under duress by people at the jail. Oh, that's kind of plausible. We've seen that before in cases. But I keep going back to, and I got other people ask me, you know, is they say, well, you're not defense. It's not you to come up with. But I want to know why. So let's go into the thought experiment here. So why would this person kill these two girls if he did do it? Well, I mean, I don't get the motive that they're saying. If you don't have a motive and you have that kind of really of a stretch of evidence, if you only have one piece of evidence and in a jail confession and you don't have motive, that's really paper thin.
It is. And I also very much question there's a lot of weird things that add into kind of conspiracy here.
Doesn't it?
the big one being the fact that he's in a prison, and he's innocent until proven guilty. He should be in the jail. The argument has been, it's not safe enough. Well, really? I mean, how many other people have we had in jails that it seemed to work just fine? Maybe it's not his problem that you don't have enough security. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to figure that out.
Did you think about this? Cavalcante, who just escaped from Pennsylvania a couple of weeks ago, he's in a local jail, and that dude scaled up like Spider-Man. Yeah. I mean, he's the one who should have been in a prison, and he was convicted of murder.
Exactly. So that number one seems rather bizarre, and then you have just the different atmosphere between the two systems, and putting someone into that sort of a setting. I can only imagine the psychological trauma that would come with that, especially if you're an innocent man who had nothing to do with this. And I'm not saying he's innocent or guilty, but it just doesn't seem like this is the correct path to be going down with someone that is innocent until proven guilty with a very weak argument. At some point here, I mean, I am wondering, are they going to, if they're going to throw one piece out of this, including what we just talked about with, they want to throw out what was going on the ground at the scene. You don't have much of a case at some point, and I think you're almost back at square one. I'm wondering if they're trying to slowly back their way out of prosecuting this man.
Yeah, but the problem then is, who are you going to prosecute? I mean, yeah, you know, here's the big conspiracy theory. Then what if everyone in the town is an Odinist? I mean, how do you get even a jury? I mean,
then it's a Stephen King book at that point.
It really, and I feel bad chuckling about it because, I mean, two girls lost their lives a while ago, and that's the tragic part of this, and for the families that have to deal with this. I mean, can you imagine? But yeah, there's something really weird going on with this one. I'm with you on it. I still can't get over how paper thin the prosecution is on what they have. Tony, have you seen a motive of what they said? Why he killed two girls?
There is no motive at all. I mean, it's just, he's in jail. We think his bullet was there, this unspent bullet, which, you know, if you are someone who shoots regularly or something, and maybe you're out for a hike, honestly, it's not that crazy to think that it fell out of a pocket.
And or then, crazy that someone came in your house, grabbed it, and put it at the crime scene. I mean, what the hell?
Well, I mean, yeah, that too. That could be another area where they really needed someone to blame. I mean, that's the human nature. We want to try and find an answer to this. And I'm just wondering how overzealous the sheriff, Tony Liggett, got on this and lied to get there. Because you don't have much of a motive. You have what Tony has represented as being proven to be many lies in there. Beyond that, I don't know what else you really got on this guy. Even the Purdue professor, Jeffrey Turcos, who we've now identified who made the statement, upon seeing the pattern of sticks, suggested someone tried to replicate a dramatic ruin script, hinting at a ritualistic angle, which everyone's like, well, maybe it's just sticks. Well, here's an expert, the one that they even asked. He didn't give them the right answer that they wanted. So they just kind of brushed him aside, it seems.
Yeah, I'm going back to these defense attorneys again, because think about this. If they had not come up with this, then you and I wouldn't be talking about it. And this guy would be going to jail for the rest of his life. I mean, so the fact that they saw a pattern that they said, huh, that's interesting. I mean, that's what they get paid to do, obviously. But this is, and going back, I'm relating it to the sheriff here. You know, so if you think no one's going to, or it's not going to get a big national claim, it's not a big deal, and you just want to close the case because you got to move on to the next one, you're going to go with the lowest hanging fruit you can get, and you're going to move forward. And unfortunately for him, you know, this guy's defense attorneys are doing their due diligence the best they can, and they brought it to the attention of a lot more people, saying, hey, this just looks really weird and it doesn't fit anything. Especially, I don't get how there's no motive. I mean, you and I have talked about so many cases, and with most of them, especially with murder involved, I'm looking for who's getting the money, who's got retribution against so-and-so, crime of passion or premeditation. Again, with this one, two girls, lots of movement that had to take place, lots of logistics that had to take place to do what they did, not something one person could do on a spree. So it wasn't a crime of passion. This was a premeditation kind of thing. All right. So it's premeditated for what end?
Well, and how do you premeditate it? I guess it'd be the other question, too, that you knew that these girls were going to go and for a walk that day. I mean, right there is like another like complete, you know, cog in this wheel that you can't, unless they were eavesdropping on the family and they knew that this was a pattern of behavior, but it doesn't seem like it was. It just seemed to be a common walking trail, unless someone set out and said, I'm gonna go after somebody on that trail today, and I don't know who it is, but somebody.
So here's what's really great. You know, all the listeners listening, I know you all are into the true crime stuff on TV. My wife is. And as I'm sitting here watching all these shows with her, most of the time I'm sitting here goes, that's a plot hole. That's a plot hole. But even the ones on TV have less plot holes than this case does.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. This one just is not adding up. And you said, you know, where is the motive? What is it? I don't think there is one, because I'm kind of really doubting Richard Allen is the one who did this. And if he is not,
I am too.
Then there would be no motive.
I know, because if he could say why he did it, or he doesn't have to say it. Obviously, you know, I mean, what benefit does he get from killing these two girls? Because there's always something, you know, with the cult leaders, it's doing harm. It's something they got to hush. It's someone's going to give them up. It's something, it's a benefit they're going to get from getting child support from it. Mm-hmm. They're going to get an insurance policy from it. They're going to get a lover that they wanted, they couldn't have from it. I mean, all these other motives pop up in all these other cases. But this one, I'm like, what is it?
Yeah. I don't know that we will ever know that. We'll just have to see where this goes as time progresses and Richard Allen continues to stay in prison as those who are responsible try to figure that out.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.